This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
We have a special guest today. Ryan, who are we speaking with?
Our guest today is Dr. Dave Logan. Dave Logan is a best-selling author, an expert in cultural transformation in the workplace, a senior partner at CultureSync, and a faculty member at the Marshall School of Business. Dave is also going to be the keynote presenter at the upcoming 2011 Toastmasters International Convention in Las Vegas. Dr. Dave Logan, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. Great to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you with us. Now, Dave, I know that your most recent book is entitled Tribal Leadership, and I'm sure that's going to play that concept of tribal leadership is going to play a big part in your keynote presentation. So for our listeners who aren't familiar with the concept of tribal leadership, could you start us off with a common language here by explaining what you mean by tribe?
Yeah, sure. Well, the book is really about leadership. Tribe is a method to get to leadership, and so ultimately leadership is about making something happen that wasn't going to happen anyway. It's kind of a nifty little definition. And so where tribes come in is a tribe is the basic unit of a group of people in which leadership happens. So in a sentence, what tribal leadership is that the leader forms the tribe and elevates its culture. I'm sure we'll get into that during this podcast, and then when they reach a certain level of effectiveness, the tribe recognizes the leader as being the person that put all that together.
Could you provide us with an overview of the five stages of the different tribes?
Yes, sure. So the big probably breakthrough or the big new idea in this book is that what a leader has to do if they're going to be effective is they go into a group that already exists, a tribe that's already formed, so now they've got a tribe. The question is, how good is the tribe? How effective is the tribe? And there are really five flavors of tribes. There are five types of tribes. So this goes on a ladder from least effective, everything you don't want, all the way up to the top, which is everything you do want. So all the way at the bottom, what we call stage one, this is the bottom of the barrel, how people communicate, this is all about language, it's all about talking, is they communicate in terms of life sucks. That life is just inherently unfair. You can never cut a break. You do whatever you can to survive. So just a quick little illustration of that. I was in a company a few years ago, and somebody was trying to load this big, heavy printer into his car. And he was in the process of trying to lift it off his desk, and he was clearly about to hurt himself. So I got on the other side of it. We carried it out to his car, put it down. I remember his whole car kind of, you could see the weight of it just rippling through the car. And as we were done, I was wiping the sweat off my face. I think he was probably doing the same. I said, "What's the deal with the printer?" And he said, "Oh, well, I got fired today. They didn't give me enough severance." And he pointed to the printer. That's my severance. So that's stage one. It's where, again, this whole deal is just so completely unfair that we have to do whatever it takes to get ours, get mine. And so you see criminality in these. You see people cooking the books if it's an organization. This also explains things like gangs and terror cells. No matter where you go in the world, there's always a form of stage one or several forms of stage one. And as leaders, we do need to be on the lookout for them because, again, they can do really, really bad stuff.
So gotcha. That's stage one. And I'm sure that you didn't know that you were a willing participant in a crime at the time.
Well, thank you for your concern. Yeah, I found that I was an accomplice to a crime, but I made it all good. So,
all right.
Yeah, we're back in happy land. So then stage two, if we go up a level, they don't say life sucks. They say my life sucks. And that might sound similar to the first, but actually it's completely different. It's more like, I'm stuck here at work. If I got to go to Toastmasters, then my life would be good, but I don't get to do that. And so I'm just going to sit here and do my job, and I'm not really developing, not really going anywhere. Every time I try something, it doesn't work. I make suggestions. Nobody ever follows up on them. So I'm just going to sit here, do my job, do the minimum to not get fired. And where you see stage two, where a lot of us are familiar with it, would be like in the Department of Motor Vehicles or the place that screens you and your luggage before you get on a plane, the TSA. These are just classic stage two groups. And the problem with it, if you actually listen to them, they'll say things like, my life sucks. but they're really ineffective. There's no collaboration. There's no innovation. The minute somebody steps forward and says, come on, let's get something going, the tribe just devours them, just eats them alive. So they extinguish or they kill any kind of leadership. They don't kill the leader, but they kill the leadership. So invariably, if somebody tries to overpower a stage two tribe with positivity, it doesn't work. So there are ways to change stage two, but usually what people try, that stuff doesn't work at all. In fact, it just irritates people and reinforces the fact that their lives suck. So that's stage two.
Gotcha. Let me interrupt you for a second. In your presentation, are you going to be giving some advice on how you can get your stage two tribe out of stage two?
Yeah. The whole point of the keynote is going to be, as leaders who are interested in and effective in communication, how do we communicate with people to make them really great tribes? That's what leadership is, right?
Okay.
Taking people where they are, moving them forward, making them more effective, making them more competent. And so if you can take a tribe wherever they are and by moving them one stage at a time, get them up to the zone of high performance, that's leadership. At that point, they can do almost anything. They can change the world at that point. And they will credit you as the person who did it. So the whole point of the keynote is, let's find out exactly how to do that.
Okay. So moving on to stage three.
Okay, stage three is actually the most common in organizations. And the theme there is, I'm great, and sorry guys, but you're not. You know, I'm great, and you're not. And here's where I then go into my, you know, credentials and stuff that I've done and my resume. And I want to tell you all about it. And even if you don't ask, I'll probably tell you. You know, did I tell you this latest thing that I did? Oh, I didn't? Well, let me tell you. Oh, I told you? Well, let me tell you again. So it turns into very me-centered communication. And it's actually coming from a fairly good place. It's not that everybody's kind of a raging narcissist. It's more that, you know, they're competent. They're good. They were, if it's an organization, they were hired to do certain things. They were hired because they have skills. Right. That's how they're trying to approach problems. But when you've got everybody in a tribe saying, here's what I think. No, here's what I think. Well, I think something different. Well, here's what I think. They never get anywhere. So it's conversation without end. So they're much more capable, much more competent than stage two, but they're just locked in this eternal discussion that never goes anywhere. And unfortunately, that's the most common kind of tribe that we see in organizations, 48%. And the kind of strange thing is, the more people develop themselves, the more likely they are to find themselves in that kind of a culture. Because, you know, we're all smart, that's why we're here. We're all educated, that's why we're here. We're all, you know, good salespeople, that's why we're here. But we find ourselves at stage three, so it's kind of me against everyone else is how it feels. It's frustrating, there's really no leadership. And, you know, that's where we find ourselves.
Mm. Sounds like some networking events I've been to, stage three.
Yeah, I was at a networking event. I won't say which one this was, but it was kind of like a highbrow event. And so the person leading it said, from the podium, he said, okay, look, everybody stand up. So we all stood up. And he said, okay, I've got two questions for you. Number one, what do you do? And number two, what kind of car do you drive?
Oh.
And now it's your job to go tell people.
Oh,
so it's just teased by people who said, you know, investment banking, Mercedes, management consulting, Lexus. That's stage three.
Right.
The important things in life.
So then when we move on to stage four, this is actually the zone of high performance and all that stuff that people talk about. So this is where people say we're great. So the question is, who's we? So we is actually the tribe. So if you're in a big organization, when people say we, they usually don't mean, you know, like IBM, because that's too big. Or if they work at Walmart, they don't mean all of Walmart. They probably mean some little tribe. Maybe it's the tribe in my store. Maybe it's my department. Maybe it's the group that I hang out with. But what shifts I to we is the recognition that people really share these values, that there are some core commitments that they have that are really shared by other people. So the kind of classic move in stage three to stage four story is like the Manhattan Project, the group that built the first atomic bomb. Robert Oppenheimer, classic tribal leader, here's what he did. He brought together literally the best and brightest in the world, sat them all down. I mean, these are people who went on to win Nobel Prizes, and you know, your iPhone works because of people in this room, and really stage three. And he said, okay, look, I'm just going to level with you. We got a choice to make. Either we're going to get this thing, the bomb, first, or the Nazis are going to get it. Here's proof, and he put it out on the table. They were all had security clearances. Look for yourselves. You tell me what you think this is. And they looked at it and said, those are heavy water experiments. So we said, those of you that escaped Nazi Germany, which is a fair number of them, tell us what you think will happen if they get the bomb first. And the answer was, essentially, they're going to drop it on everybody. The only place that will be left will be, you know, the territories that they'd already conquered. And so then Oppenheimer said to them, it's your choice. What do you want to do? Do you want them to get it first? If so, do nothing. If you want us to get it first, then we need to find a way to work together. And suddenly they began talking in terms of we. So again, that's recognition of shared values, like, you know, save the earth is probably a shared value. And when people start talking in terms of it, all that interpersonal friction falls away. They say we, they mean the group. Then instead of saying, here's what I think, they'll say, well, say more about what you think, because it seems to go together with what this other person said. Notice Oppenheimer did that purely through communication. So you can produce high performance purely through your communication with other people.
All right.
Interesting.
So stage five.
Okay, top one. So this is really rare, and we don't even say it's the goal. The goal is to go here on occasion. This is the tribal stage that produces some kind of innovation that is so remarkable, that is so cool, that it changes the world. So this is the group at Apple that said, let's revolutionize people's relationship with music. So what they say is, life is great, that there's no kind of there's nothing that's going to stand in between us expressing those values to the world, right? It's our values in the world, and we're going to find a way to make an impact no matter what. And this was literally the kind of group that built the graphic user interface. So you go down the list of technology, it almost all came out of stage five organizations or stage five tribes. We found a number of them when we were doing the study. One of them was Pixar. We said, who's your competitor? We expected to hear maybe DreamWorks, and they said, oh, it's Hair. Like, what do you mean Hair? You're in competition with Hair? They said, yeah, and they touched their own hair. We can't make Hair look decent in the movies. It looks like Barbie hair. So at stage four, you know who your competitor is. It's, you know, your rival. But at stage five, there's no competitor. We're in competition with something really esoteric, like knowledge, like hair. The MIT physics folks said, oh, we know who the competition is. It's Caltech. We hate those guys. Well, not really. We hire their people. They hire our people. We're all going to go work on the super collider together. I think we're in competition with, you know, knowledge. That's sort of stage five. So the goal is you solidify at stage four, make your teams absolutely stable at that point, and then take these occasional drifts up into stage five, produce something that's world-changing. Then you want to drift back down into stage four and make sure that it really gets done.
All right.
Very cool. Interesting stuff, Dave. So we've covered the five stages of a tribe, but Dave, I want to go back to another point related to the definition of the tribe. I know in your book you specify that a tribe is a group of 20 to 150 people.
Right.
And help me understand this. If you have 19 people, I understand you'd call that a team. So what is it that happens when the 20th person joins that transforms that group from a team to a tribe?
And what if the 20th person really doesn't pay attention much and is more of a daydreamer and a drifter, and they really don't count?
Right. What if they've taken a lot of NyQuil that morning?
Exactly.
They can only count as half a person?
Exactly.
So, first of all, there's nothing magic about 20. It's what we call an ish number. So 20-ish is where a team transforms into a tribe. How it's different, if you think of a group of, let's say, five, so clearly way smaller than a tribe, what happens is they'll still talk in terms of those tribal stages, but they're going to jump all over the map. So 1 minute they're talking stage two, yeah, it really stinks around here, we're not getting any benefits, they're going to shut us down, yeah, I heard we're going to be sold, yeah. And then suddenly somebody gets an email that's really funny and they read it, and now they seem to sort of be in stage four. So they just jump all over the place. When you get into a tribe, that's the 20-ish to 150-ish number, what happens is there's a certain way they communicate, and it becomes fixed, becomes rigid. And so that way, even if a new person comes in, or a person's having a good day or bad day, the tribe will reset that person and get them to talk the way they've always talked. So that's why tribe's really important. At 20, there's a certain way they communicate, and unless you go in and rewire it and move it to the next level, that's how they're going to talk. You know, the TSA is really hard to change. That, right, the DMV is really hard to change because they're tribes. They're not just teams. I mean, somebody goes to a great meeting, they read some leadership thing, they, you know, go to some seminar, they get all excited, and they come back. They really want to share what they learned, and what they realize is nobody has any interest in actually changing. Mm. In fact, we have every interest in just pulling you back down into the abyss of despair.
Right. So a tribe is 20-ish to 150-ish.
Yeah.
What would be the term for a group that's over 150-ish?
Well, something else. It could be a business unit, an organization. How we would talk about a tribally is once you pass the 150 mark, you're just going to split into another tribe. That just happens automatically.
Okay.
So the Romans knew that. When they had around 150 or less, it was the basic fighting force, they won wars. And when their basic fighting force got bigger than 150, it became very political. There's kind of an in-group and out-group. It would become very cliquish. They just wouldn't work well together. And what the Romans cared about was winning wars. So being Romans, they didn't particularly care why. They just made the basic group less than 150, which is why the word centurion literally means leader of 100. That way we can add a few soldiers if we got a few extras or places without a place, people without a place to go. We're still under that 150 mark. So over 150, it's just multiple tribes.
Chaos. Well, Dave, you're going to be speaking with multiple tribes in Las Vegas for sure with our many, many Toastmasters from around the world who'll be attending. I'd like to ask you, how do you think you're going to, convey all of this information to the Toastmasters in Las Vegas? And more specifically, not just convey the concepts, but in a way that you can help each of the tribes there, each of the individual Toastmasters leaders and members use the information to improve their own leadership and the cultures of the organizations that they're a part of?
Well, first of all, I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to that time. My own background is coming out of communication. I did Toastmasters for many years. My dad recommended I do it when I was in high school. And if you look at the tribal leaders, people who are doing this naturally without any advice from us, they're just doing it naturally, one thing that they have in common is they are really good at communication. So if somebody wants to be a tribal leader, the first step is you got to go get good at communication. Then one of the pieces of advice I always give is go join Toastmasters. So in a sense, people are way down the road already. So this is just such a great opportunity to talk to people who have spent a lot of time really learning communication, also learning how to listen, learning how to critique, learning to listen to the subtleties. They are uniquely set up to be tribal leaders. And so direct answer to your question, we're going to do everything we can. When I say we, that's the whole group that's trying to coordinate this and make sure that this is a great use of people's time. We're going to make sure that by the time we're done, people walk out the door with the knowledge and the ability to actually get this done. So couldn't be looking more forward to it. I'm just, when I think about it, I get excited. And I probably said a couple ums in there, which is a big Toastmaster no-no. So hopefully I'll be forgiven for that.
We forgive you. If you forgive us, ours.
I feel your forgiveness.
Right. Well, we are certainly looking forward to it, Dave. It sounds like it's going to be a fantastic keynote.
Yes, indeed it will. So a final question for you. Which leaders or authors inspire you?
Well, in terms of leaders, this was a tough question because if I mention somebody that's an elected official, then it sounds like I'm being political. So probably the guy on the person that's on the stage right now more than anyone else who seems to be exhibiting the behaviors of a tribal leader is David Petraeus.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't figure out what political party he's in, so if you happen to know, please don't tell anybody. But the reason he's so good is he'll go into any situation, military groups, local groups, on the ground, political groups. He's really good at listening. He's really good at figuring out where people are in terms of the tribal stages. He's really good at moving them up to the next level. And if you look at not just his success, but the effectiveness, that's why we should want to do that. Right? He's really well-loved. He's well-loved by people on both sides of the political party, well-loved in the military, well-loved outside the military. You know, that's what you can do as a tribal leader. In terms of authors, it's really going to be the classics, and I think the people in Toastmasters will appreciate this. Probably my favorite writer of all time is Winston Churchill, and the fact he is or was such a great communicator comes through on the pages, but you also realize he was able to convey this to groups. He delivered hope to not just a nation, but half a world when hope seemed to be in such short supply during the war. So it's going to be people like that, people who've really made history by their communication. I love studying those people, love studying how they thought, how they approached situations.
Right. Yeah, Winston Churchill is a gentleman who has allowed me to feel good about ending sentences with prepositions.
No. Exactly.
His famous line is, that whole rule is one up with which I will not put.
Good old Winston, Sir Winston.
Right. Well, Dave, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show today. We really look forward to meeting you in person in Las Vegas. And before we let you go, would you just share with our listening audience where they can go to learn a little bit more about tribal leadership and about you?
Sure. The website for the book is Tribal Leadership. That's all one word, so two L's, tribal and then leadership, but no space or anything or underscore in between them. So one big long word, triballeadership.net is probably a good place to go.
Fantastic. Right. Sounds great.
All right. Dr. Dave, thank you very much. We will see you in August.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I hope that gets all of you very excited to attend the 2011 Toastmasters International Convention in Las Vegas. All right. Well, thank you very much for paying attention and listening to our podcast. We will see you next time on the Toastmasters podcast. Bye-bye, everybody.
See ya.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.